Well, this is our last week of Supernatural, and we're going to talk about angels today. First week, we talked about the spiritual realm and the truth that there are a spiritual reality all around us. There is things that we cannot see. There is the unseen that affects the seen. Then we talked about the Holy Spirit and how He indwells believers, and greater is He that is in us than He is in the world. And then as we talk about spiritual warfare and things of a spiritual nature, we have no fear because God has prepared us for that. Last week we talked about Satan and his demons, which was kind of a weird topic at church, you know, to talk about Satan. But we, you know that he is a defeated foe. Through all of this, I want us to remember that our prayers are more powerful than we think, right? As we talk about spiritual warfare, prayer is the real answer to that. Next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we're going to meet here and we're going to do a little prayer walking in the neighborhood around here. I'd love to encourage you to come out and do that with us. We're going to kind of guide and walk. If there's people out there, we'll engage them. If not, you know, we're not going to knock on doors this time. We may do that again as Christmas kind of rolls around, invite people to Christmas service. But just a time to kind of pray for our community. Pray for the spiritual realities around us. So I want to encourage you to be part of that. As we talk about angels today, though, I want you to start to think about what images you have in your mind. This is probably one of the areas where we as Christians have got more theology from popular culture, history, art, those kind of things than actually the Bible. It is not true that every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Okay, just that's not actually theology. When we die, we don't become angels. I know a lot of people kind of think that. I remember thinking that as a kid, that when I died, I was going to become an angel. I get wings, get to fly around. I've had that conversation with my children as well. There's something in, I don't know, it's probably cartoons, right? That we get this from, this idea that when we die, we become angels. But we are human. We are created human. We are created in God's image. Angels are created as angels, and those two are not the same thing. Angels are not cute little half-naked babies with wings that fly around and shoot bows and arrows at people or anything like that, kind of from medieval ideas. They're not statues that are quantum locked when we look at them and if we, you know, try not to blink so they come alive. Some people think, like, you know, when a loved one dies, they go up in heaven and they're watching over us. They're like a guardian angel. And the Bible doesn't give us any picture of that, you know. And I think it'd be kind of creepy if my dad was watching everything I did, you know, because there's some things like, Dad, you know, stay out of the bathroom, right? I mean, there's some things like, I don't picture heaven being a happy, great place if you could see some of the things that were happening on earth. And maybe perspective is different on that, but here's what Hebrews 13:2 says. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So angels are one of those spiritual realities that we can interact with. So I want to just kind of go through, again, kind of a systematic approach. We're going to jump over Scripture, looking at different areas where God, through His Word, shows us who these angelic beings are. Number one is angels are worshipers. All right, if you're taking notes, angels were created to worship God. In fact, all of creation, everything that is created to worship God. The order of the solar system and the universe as they spin and stay in sync is worship of God. The crashing of waves on a seashore is worship of God. Sunrises and sunsets, all of creation shouts His glory. Angels do it, and we as created people are supposed to do it as well. Maybe one of the best examples of this is one we look at every Christmas, right? In Luke 2, chapter 13 and 14. After the angels show up to the shepherds, right? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." So we see even when Jesus shows up on earth, this choir of heavenly angels showing up and singing this song of God's great work. Angels are worshiping God for what He was doing, and they are currently worshiping Him for what He is doing, right? They continue to worship around the throne of what He has done in the past and what He is currently doing. And then we'll look at Revelation. We're going to talk about what He will do in the future. The angels are worshiping constantly around the throne of God. When we worship Jesus, we get the opportunity to join with creation to worship God. When we sing these songs, we don't just do it because, well, I don't know, that's what you're supposed to do in church, right? And, oh man, the drummer stopped playing, so now Jeremy's going to make us sing, get quiet, and we have to say the words out loud, and he's going to look at us if we're not singing, right? We do this because we get to echo with the angels. We get to join that chorus of how great our God is. And it says in Revelation, "Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" So we see angels worshiping in the past, and they see angels worshiping in the present, and then John's seeing this picture of angels worshiping in this future event. And angels are constantly worshiping around the throne of God. Now I want you to think about it like this way, parents. For those of you whose kids kind of learn new songs, right? You get excited about that? I have some two-year-olds in my house right now, and Levi's pretty good at the open, shut them song. He gets pretty excited about that one, right? Anna started busting out the alphabet song the other day, and I was like, yes, all right, we're making some progress, right? And so we see our kids learning new things and new skills. God works that same way with us as his kids. He gets excited when we learn new songs. When my kid learns to play something on the guitar to worship God, I get excited. When Louis brings some cowbell into the drum booth, right, I get excited because God always wants more cowbell. It's a good thing. And so we have that opportunity to join with the angels and we worship God for what he has done in the past. We worship him for what he's doing in our lives today. Because no matter what circumstances you're walking in here, how you're feeling, how the weather's affected you, whether your roof was leaking or not as all this rain came down, we know that God is working and that God is good. And we get to continue to worship him forever in the future. Angels are also warriors. Angels are warriors. They're worshipers and they're warriors. In 2 Kings 19:35, David had an encounter with God, and God sent out this angel. And it says, "The angel of the Lord went out and struck down," not David, 185,000 in the camp of Assyria. "And the people arose early in the morning, and behold, all the bodies were dead." So, right, there's an army coming against Israel. God says, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." He sends out his angel, and all the enemies of Israel die. It's a pretty good way to win a war, right? You don't have to shoot a battle. You're like, how come God doesn't do that every time? I don't know. He's God. He doesn't run his battle plans by me, right? But here's the truth. When we think of angels, sometimes we think of these cute or cuddly or pretty things. But angels are awful, fearful creatures, right? They are, when people see them in the Bible, they are full of awe. They are full of fear. People drop to their knees and are terrified of these angelic beings because they are scary. They are frightening. And so whenever that happens, we see that people recognize this as a supernatural, otherworldly being. And we don't know as a physical flesh how to deal with them. And oftentimes you see the angels says, "Fear not," and then things kind of come to their senses. But angels are scary. They could wipe us out if God wanted. When Jesus was being crucified, right, he had the ability, the power as creator to call angels to come and wipe everybody out and take him off the cross. But he didn't. He gave his life as a ransom for many. Angels are God's warrior race. It's interesting when you look at a man who reflected the heart of God, David, right? He was both a worshiper and a warrior. We see that David wrote so many of the Psalms and ways that we still praise God today using the words that David wrote, but he was also a mighty man of battle and of trusting God to go before him. And so we see angels as this warrior race doing the will of God, fighting the battles of God to accomplish the purposes of God. Sometimes we pray, well, how come the angels don't show up and fight this battle for me? Well, sometimes God wants us to fight our own battles. Sometimes the battles we're in, we shouldn't be in, right? And they have nothing to do with God. And we walked away from that a while back. Revelation 12:7 says this, "Now a war arose in heaven. and Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. Last week we talked about those third were Satan and the third of the angels that he took with him. But they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down. That ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, was thrown down to earth, and his angels, which we now call demons, were thrown down with him. So we have this spiritual battle raging around us. There's angels and there's demons. And the angels are stronger than the demons, right? They've defeated them. They got better numbers. God could stop them at a word because no one's as strong as God. Sometimes we have this picture of Satan and God in this cosmic battle. I watch the History Channel sometimes, and they put this idea of that's what's going on in the Bible. That's not what's going on in the Bible, right? Satan is created. He is nowhere near as powerful as God. There is no power that Satan has that is not granted to him, no authority he has that is not granted to him by God. And so we say, well, God, why don't you just take care of it? Well, God is taking care of it. There are things going on behind the scenes that you and I don't know about. There are spiritual battles going on for your family members. There are spiritual battles going on for your friends and your coworkers that you and I can't see. And God wants us as the church, as his people, as people full of the Holy Spirit, to do his will with those people on the physical realm, and allow him to work out what's going on in the spiritual realm. We can pray for them, we can work and be part of that spiritual realm, but our job is to love and to share and to invite and to invest in people's lives here on the physical realm. And let the angels worry about the spiritual battle that's going on. Angels are also messengers. Angels are messengers of God. God uses them to dispatch messages to people. Judges 6:12. Great story in the Bible. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Now, for those of you who don't recognize this story, there's a man named Gideon. And they're being oppressed by the Midianites, and he's hiding in a wine press trying to thresh some grain, because if the Midianites see it, they will come and steal it from them. And so this angel shows up to Gideon and says, "Hey, God has a plan for your life. God is going to use you to do something great. You're not the guy hiding from the Midianites. You are a mighty man of valor." And so that was a message Gideon needed to hear to prompt God's working of releasing his people. In Luke 1, we see God send a messenger to Mary. He says this, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary," because an angel shows up and everybody's afraid, unless the angel says, "Do not be afraid," right? "For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end." And we see this angel prophesying and bringing a message to Mary of what is to come. Every time we see something big happening, we see a messenger from God coming to explain it to the people of God. And he sends angels to make sure we get the message. He still works this way today, right? God hasn't changed. He still can send angels to talk to people. Gideon learned that he was going to be the man to lead the battle to defeat the Midianites. They were a licentious and brutal oppressor of the Israel nation. And he said, "Okay, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. You're going to lead the fight. You're going to go." To Mary, he said, "You're going to give birth to Jesus, the Son of the Most High. And he's not going to deliver the people from the Romans. He's going to deliver the world from sin. Jesus is what's going to happen." And so the angel brought this message to Mary. So we see angels as worshipers of God. We see angels as warriors who fight on the spiritual plane. We see angels as messengers. We also see things that angels do in Scripture. Number one is angels give you direction, right? Sometimes we don't know what to do, and so we pray, right? And sometimes God answers yes, and sometimes God answers no, and sometimes he's silent. And so we go, "Okay, Lord, what should we do?" Angels are able to give us directions on how we should go. In Matthew 1:20, again, following up on that story of Mary, right? She's engaged to be married. She's betrothed to a man named Joseph, and she comes up pregnant. Now, in that culture, that was not cool. That wasn't status quo. That wasn't normal. And so Joseph had to decide what he was going to do. And he obviously couldn't marry her because she had been unfaithful. And so this angel shows up to Joseph. And as he considered these things, Matthew 1:20 says, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're in a rough place in life, you know, and you're in a conundrum, and an angel shows up to you to give you advice, that'd be nice. Has anybody ever experienced that? You ever had just, like, angels show up? I haven't either. Maybe someday it'll happen, right? But God works that way. He sends angels as messengers, and he told Joseph where to go and how to work and how to relate. Another great story is in the Old Testament, in Numbers 22. There was a man named Balaam. Now Balaam was a prophet, and he would prophesy, and so some kings were going to war against Israel, and they wanted him to come out and prophesy against Israel. He said, man, I can't do what God doesn't want me to do. And so there was a back and forth over and over. Finally, he said, okay, I'll just go. I'll show up, but I'm not doing it unless God tells me to do it. So he gets on his donkey. So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in his way as an adversary. So he's going down a path, and there's an angel blocking the way. This is an angel with a fiery sword. This is a warrior angel. This is the angel of the Lord who we looked at earlier had wiped out 185,000 people, right? This is an angel that's going to take out God's vengeance. Now, he was riding on a donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went to a field, and Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the road. All right? So this angel shows up in a way to help Balaam understand what's going on. Now, Balaam didn't see it, right? Who saw it? The donkey. Y'all ever have a dog in your house that kind of perks up and looks at something that's not there? Animals are keen on some things, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's always an angel or a demon going around, but I'm saying that when you know, an animal acts out of normal behavior, there's something to pay attention to. Balaam starts beating his donkey. Because if you've ever been around donkeys, they're rather stubborn animals. And, you know, that's where you get the term stubborn as a mule, right? I mean, they don't want to do what you always tell them to do. And so he gets back on this donkey and he goes again. And again, the donkey sees his angel and turns aside. And again, Balaam beats his donkey. Third time this happens. And then God allows the donkey to talk to him. Strangest story in the Bible, right? And Balaam's not even taken back by it. He's just like, oh yeah, my donkey's having a conversation with me. The donkey's like, haven't I always been a good donkey? He's like, yeah, I didn't talk till now, right? And so he says, look, and God opens his eyes and he sees this angel and he sees how the donkey actually saved him. So when we are asking God for directions, when we are petitioning God, when we are seeking God, when we're knocking on the door of heaven and asking and seeking and knocking and asking and seeking and knocking and continuing till God gives us an answer, the answer may not come in the way we want, right? I'd love for just a voice from heaven. I'd love to have the golden God phone. You can just pick it up and be like, boom, God, what's up, you know, and just get directions. Life would seem a lot simpler that way. But God uses angels, dreams, messages, prophecies to direct our lives, visions, strange conversations. He even used a talking donkey, all right? For the most part, like, if your animal starts talking to you, I encourage you to get out of it. Like, there's something wrong, right, if that happens. But this is what God is doing. Sometimes we get frustrated because we feel like there's these roadblocks in our lives, that God's not allowing us to go where we feel like we're supposed to go and do what we're supposed to do, or we're spinning our wheels and we keep trying. Sometimes God's blocking you for a good reason, right? When you start to feel those roadblocks, when you start to feel things that you're bumping up against, and like, Lord, why can't I get over this? Why can't I get through this? Why can't I press on? Why can't I seek? Lord, this is what I think I'm supposed to do. This is what my education is, or my job experience, or my family direction. Lord, what am I supposed to do? God may be putting up a roadblock. He may be putting an angel in your way to stop you. It may be because it's a bad situation and you don't need to be in it. It may be because it's not God's will for your life. It may be just because God loves you and he's going to protect you even if you're not the smartest person around, right? Even if you're hell-bent on going somewhere, God sometimes stops us because we're his children. And he takes us on detours and different paths. How many of you, your life today is where you thought it would be 20 years ago? Let me see hands. No one. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing as we seek and see God directing and positioning our life. And sometimes we go, well, it's not where, I thought I was going to be here financially or here, you know, spiritually or here in these different areas. But as we are the children of God and we trust him to work out our salvation, we have to know that God is using spiritual forces to direct and put our lives where they're supposed to be. Angels are also there to protect you from danger. Right? Angels actually work to protect us from danger. Psalm 91, 11 and 12 says this, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." For some of those of you that remember Jesus' temptation when Satan's tempting him, right? Satan quotes this scripture, "Throw yourself from the temple because the angels are going to pick you up. You won't even bruise your heel on a stone." And Jesus responds with scripture and puts it in the right place. But God has put angels around us as a way of protecting us. There are times in our lives, in our family life, that we look back and say God's hand of protection was on us. When we were leaving Florida, you know, my wife rolled our Tahoe. With her being pregnant with Nate, my mom in the other in the passenger seat, and two babies strapped in the back, right? And she rolled it over, and everybody walked out of that accident without a scratch on them. Man, you know, when you pull up and see your vehicle upside down on the side of the road and see your whole family okay getting out of it. I mean, I wanted to sacrifice a bull. Like, I didn't know what the appropriate response was. I was like, this is where burnt offering comes in, right? How do you thank God enough for that? But truly, you believe there were angels there watching over, protecting, holding, cushioning my family. Another story we tell over and over again in our family is we were hiking one time in Arizona, right? And me and Micaiah and Gideon, and we're walking up a mountain, and they're running ahead because they're not sort of saving their strength. They're dumb kids, right? You know, and they're doing that, and finally they get up there, and they get tired, and Micaiah's young, and so she's whiny, so I throw her on my back, and Gideon, I take the lead, and he starts walking behind me, and as I get ready to step, I hear a rattle. And I look down, and there is a rattlesnake. And I jump back, you know, and I, you know, push Gideon back, and, you know. But, I mean, if I had stepped, that thing would have bit me. If the kids had been running ahead, they would have got bit. So then I took a rock and killed it and was really dad manly, right? You know, I mean, it took a ridiculous amount of times to kill a snake by throwing a rock at it. But angels protect us from danger. In Acts 12, there's the great jailbreak, right? "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in his cell, and he struck Peter on the side to wake him up." I love how it struck him. It wasn't, you know, he didn't gently tap him or say, "Hey, good morning, Peter." You know, it's a picture of the angel kicking Peter in the side, going, "Get up." And he said, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And they walked out of jail. Because the believers were sitting there in a prayer meeting praying that Peter would get out of jail, right? And I love how that story goes on, because then Peter goes to the house where they're in a prayer meeting and knocks on the door. And the little girl opens and goes, "It's Peter." They're like, "No, it's not. We're going to keep praying for him," right? Nobody believes it. And so we see this spiritual battle going on where Peter is released from prison by an angel. An angel showed up to help him. And the final thing that angels do is angels minister to us. God uses his heavenly host to minister to us. to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So what does it look like to be ministered to by an angel? It's a great question. We see it after Jesus fasts for 40 days in the wilderness, right? After Satan comes and tempts him, then the Bible says the angels came and ministered to him, encouraged him. We don't know exactly what they did. I would think after 40 days, they hopefully brought him some food, right? That would be part of it. I would want, you know, Pizza Hut on that angel list. But angels minister to us. Earlier on, we looked at the verse in Hebrews where it says, you know, show hospitality because you have entertained angels unaware. That angels walk among us sometimes, disguised as human, veiling that which is of the supernatural, and are there for a reason to help us. Sometimes you just get an encouraging word from somebody. Sometimes it's somebody you don't even know, right? Like, everybody ever had that? Just this random person talks to you? We were praying about going to seminary, right? We had people at church that we didn't know come up to us and go, hey, I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you this, that I'm praying for you to go to seminary. I'm like, that's a weird thing to pray for someone you don't know very well. You know, it's a confirmation for us and for our life of what we're supposed to do, but that's strange. There were these angels ministering to us, pointing us in directions. And God sometimes turns lights red or green, slows people down, speeds people up. A lot of us can tell of accidents we've been in. People have been there on the scene right away to help and to minister. Some strangers that may have been angels. God puts people in your life. And that's one of the great things as a church family and a body of believers in this world is that we get to minister to people, right? We get to act like the angelic host to others. We get to act like them in worship and worshiping our God, but we also get to minister first to one another in this body as we know each other's needs and how we can help and lift one another up, but then to the rest of the world where you can show up and say something encouraging as you're prompted by the Spirit of God and you can minister to them. God wants to use us to minister to people as well as angels. Because the truth is, angels have a spiritual component, but we are the physical component to this world. So as much as God can use angels to minister to people, he can also use birds and talking donkeys, right? He fed Elijah by ravens. He saved Balaam because of the donkey. And so God over and over again says that the church is the one to deal with the physical, to deal with the issues, to pray for Mexico as hurricanes hit, to pray for what's going on in Oklahoma after that accident happened. You know, those are the things that God uses us to do as his children, that we get to be in some way like angels. We are not angels, right? But we get to be like them. We can be an angel to someone else by helping, by serving, by showing compassion, by going out of our way, by being friendly. I had two weird road rage incidents in the last week. All right, I'll be honest. You know, I'm coming on 820 where 35 merges, and then this guy just kind of came over across the white line and in front of me, and I gave a little honk. It wasn't a rude honk, you know. It really was not like lay on the horn. It was just like, come on, dude, like that could have been better. And so I'd switch lanes. I pull up next to him, and he just swerves his car over like he's gonna hit me. And I didn't react at all, but, you know, I kind of looked. I really didn't. This is, like I said, it's weird, right? There's some weird stuff. And I looked at him, and I was like, really? You know, just like really calm. And then kind of pulled ahead a little bit, and he sped back up next to me. I was like, all right, I'm going to get shot now. That's how this is going down, right? And he looks over at me, and this guy's got tattoos, and the car's all beat up, and, you know, I'm thinking, really, I'm going to get shot. And he just looks over at me and goes, I'm sorry. I was like, that doesn't happen in traffic. What just happened? I'm like, it's okay, man. And we went about our way, right? Usually it escalates. And so that was the strangest thing. And I was coming here one morning early and stopped at Jack in the Box, you know, for breakfast. And so there was a red light right there. And so I just kind of nudged out a little bit into traffic to get in front, and the guy wasn't happy that I got in front of him and pulled up next to me and rolled down his window, and I rolled down mine. And I was like, man, thanks for letting me in. You're such a great guy. You are an awesome human being. And he looked at me and said, curse you for being so nice, and drove off. I have never been cursed for being nice before. That was by far the strangest week in my driving experience, right? So why do I tell those stories? Here's the point. We have the opportunity to bless people, to help people. Sometimes we are going to be aiding angelic missions, right? There's two guys walking by, and Abraham says, hey, come have some of my wife's bread. She makes a heck of a good loaf of bread. Come on, you guys are weary, come have it. And it turns out there are two angels. They're going to Sodom and Gomorrah to bring down destruction on it. And Abraham's like, oh, by the way, my nephew lives there. Maybe we can talk about this a little bit, right? And so he ministers these angels, and he walks along the road, and they have this conversation. And then they get into town, and Lot, his nephew, says, oh, don't sleep out here. Come stay at my house. And let us provide for you. Let us help you. And his family, minus the wife, were saved through that process that happened there. As we help people, we might be ministering to angels. You think, wait a minute, aren't angels supposed to minister to us? Like, I thought you just said angels were ministering spirits that minister to us. God wants us to be kind. He wants us to be compassionate. And as he puts these people in our path and we help them, it is for us. It makes us ministers of the gospel of grace, of who God is and what we are supposed to be as his children.